Well, hey there, and welcome to the Saints Church Glory Hills podcast. We're so happy that you joined us today. Whatever you're doing, wherever you are, we believe that God will speak to you through one of our pastors today. Let's jump in.
Psalm 84. How lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord of heaven's armies. Yes, I long, yes, I faint with longing to enter the courts of the Lord. With my whole being, body, and soul, I will shout joyfully to the living God. Verse 5. What joy for those whose strength comes from the Lord, who have set their minds on a pilgrimage to Jerusalem. When they walk through the valley of weeping, it will become a place of refreshing springs. Come on, I think somebody needs that today. When they walk through the valley of weeping, it will become a place of refreshing springs. The autumn rains will clothe it with blessings. They will continue to grow stronger, and each of them will appear before God in Jerusalem. Verse 10. A single day in your courts is better than 1,000 anywhere else. I would rather be a gatekeeper in the house of my God. In other words, I'd rather greet people at the front door on a Sunday in the house of my God than live the good life in the homes of the wicked. Verse 11, for the Lord God is our sun and our shield. He gives us grace and glory. The Lord will withhold no good thing from those who do what is right. O Lord of heaven's armies, what joy for those who trust in you. Today, I just feel like we're taking a right-hand turn, but I just need to speak to those who are in that valley of weeping, as it would be defined right here, that there is joy for those who trust in Jesus. There's joy in the midst of insurmountable odds. There's joy in the midst of question marks. There's joy in the midst of brokenness. There can be joy. The real question is, how do we get there? How do we get there? When I think about the beginning of this passage in Psalm 84, it says, how lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord of heaven's armies. I long, yes, I faint with longing to enter the courts of the Lord. My whole being, body, and soul, I will shout joyfully to the living God. Another translation says, my heart and my flesh cry out for you, the living God. I don't know about you, but I don't always feel about church that way. Oh, we're not going to be honest today on a Sunday? You just put your best faking face on? Okay, I get it. Come on, let's be honest about it. There's many moments and many times where you're just like, you know, I don't feel this way about the presence of God. You don't feel it that way maybe when you wake up at 6 or 7 and you're like, yeah, I should read my Bible today, but, you know, maybe I won't. Or like, I don't know if it makes sense for me to, like, put the worship music on in the car. I'd rather listen to Edmonton Sports Talk or something. Maybe, I don't know. You know, when I'm going through a difficult season, I definitely don't feel like there's my heart and my flesh longing for the presence of God. What generally happens is my heart and my flesh are longing for a solution. My heart and flesh are longing for a peace. My heart and flesh are longing for an answer. My heart and flesh are longing for almost anything else, an escape. I don't know about you, but when things get difficult, I just start sending Desiree Instagram posts of real estate in Texas, because I just can't believe how cheap it is to buy a house in Texas. I'm just like, maybe we just go, you know? And I heard churches are big there, so it's fine. We'll just figure it out. In the middle of COVID, I just kept sending her, like, I'm like, there's no, it's the land of the free in Texas. Let's just go. It's fine. Saints, Texas, it's fine. We'll commute. Come on, nobody's else sent a real estate post somewhere else when you're going through a season. You're like, I'd rather not be in this season right now. It's just me, right? It's probably only me. So what I'm actually longing for is answers and a plan and a way out and a direction. What I'm actually longing for is not, it doesn't seem like I'm longing for Jesus. It seems like I'm longing for anything else to soothe my soul. And what generally happens is I end up walking down a road where I try to soothe my soul with as many other things as possible. It could be DQ blizzards at 10 o'clock, DoorDash to your house, $17 a blizzard, you don't care. You're like, soothe my soul in Jesus' name. It could be a blizzard. You could reach for a bottle. You could reach for a relationship outside of your marriage. Or maybe because, you know, you're a good person, you just throw yourself into your work and you just hide behind your task and your title. And, you know, I can't make it home to the family because that's where it's hurt and that's where it's hard. And so I'm just gonna double down on my career choice because it's really good for my family in the long run, when the truth is you're hiding from the facts. How lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord of heaven's armies. Now, what I'm thinking about is verse 6. Writing small. It says, when they walk through the valley of weeping. Anyone been there? Right, we're participating today. Has anyone been there in the valley of weeping? It will become a place of refreshing springs. When I read the Bible, sometimes I just ask questions. My question's how? How? How do I get there? How do I get there? How does the valley of weeping become a place of refreshing springs? That's a great question. Yes, the answer is always Jesus. When you go to, you know, when your kids are in children's ministry, if you want them to appear like you're doing a good job at raising them, you just tell them anytime the teacher asks a question, they just put up a hand and say Jesus, and they'll get it right. But how do we get to a place of my deepest, darkest of valley? So if you think about Psalm 23, it's described as the valley of weeping is the same place as the valley of the shadow of death in Psalm 23. Now, isn't it interesting that in Psalm 23, which we all love to quote, we all know it, we say it, you know, in any moment where you don't know what to say, you're like, yeah, Psalm 23, totally, it's my favorite. But it talks about the valley of the shadow of death. Now, the valley of the shadow of death and the valley of weeping are very interesting places, because in the valley of the shadow of death, what we have to be aware of is that the valley of the shadow of death looks like death, smells like death, feels like death, acts like death. You feel like you're going to die when you're in the valley of the shadow of death. Like, I thought you were encouraging me today. I am. Just stay with me. And the valley of weeping looks like bloodshot eyes and lots of tears. It looks and feels like a place of brokenness because it is a place of brokenness. Now, here's what you also need to know. The valley of the shadow of death is exactly that. It's a shadow. It's a shadow. It looks like it. It smells like it. It acts like it. You know, last night, one of my boys called out in the middle of the night because they saw something in the room. It's a shadow. There's nothing in the room. Here's what we need to be aware of. When you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, death, it feels like it's all around, and it is. But it's actually a throwback to an Old Testament scripture where it says, no weapon formed against you shall prosper. No weapon formed against you shall prosper is an amazing verse and seems really encouraging until you realize a weapon's going to be formed against you. And it says it won't prosper, which just means it's not going to kill you. It doesn't mean it's not going to hurt you. Like, wait, again, I thought you were getting encouraging today. No, we're just trying to be really, really honest about moments of life. That there are moments that look like, smell like, feel like death, that it seems like it's all around. Now, when it's a valley of the shadow of death, here's what you have to understand, that it's a shadow. Now, it's a shadow because the enemy of your soul, who's Satan, you know, whatever name, Lucifer you want to use, you can call him whatever you want to call him, just nothing good. He's the master of all lies. The scripture calls him the father of all lies. So here's what he does. He only has one plan and one strategy. Did you know that? He uses it in different ways, but he's got one primary weapon that he uses, and it's deception. He takes a good thing and he twists it. And he makes a lie And he plants a seed, and then he just keeps whispering it over and over and over and over and over and over and over until the lie begins to become a belief system that you carry. So many of us are in difficult seasons, but we're actually believing the lie more than we can see the truth in a moment. Because the lie is just whispering, it's nattering away at your soul. And it's just that age-old thing. In marketing, the reason, did you ever like wonder why you just see the same logo? Like, I don't know, okay. Let me give you a great example. I've been watching a lot of Blue Jays, okay? I love baseball. I love the Blue Jays. I have the Sportsnet app. I cast it onto my TV, which means I don't see the normal commercials when I use it. I use whatever Sportsnet is. And I saw so many Uncrustable commercials. So many. George Springer and Vladimir Guerrero love Uncrustables. And can I tell you, so do I. You're like, I don't know what an Uncrustable is. That's because you don't watch the Blue Jays. This ad, I tell you, is at me all day, every game, everything I watch, they're hammering me. What is an Uncrustable, you might ask? Now, I'm going to force you to go buy one by telling you this story, but it just makes sense. It's a peanut butter and jelly sandwich with no crust that comes in a box pre-made that you put in your freezer. When you need it, you just take it out. It takes 20 minutes to defrost, maybe up to 60 minutes if you like it. I like it with a little bit of cold, because when you have, like, I love chocolate peanut butter ice cream, and you know how, like, the peanut butter is just a little cold, and it's a little, like, it's got a different texture. It just, the Uncrustables just hit in a different way. It just hits in a different way. It slaps. It's so good. It is unrivaled. It is unrivaled. I can make my own peanut butter and jelly sandwich. Now, you also need to know most of my house is gluten-free. There is no good bread in my house. It's all garbage. Don't tell my kids that that's not what bread tastes like, but that's not what bread tastes like. And so I have one sliver of hope and glory. It's my Uncrustables in the freezer. And I can eat the chemically white bread that is probably giving me cancer. But it, so many preservatives, but it tastes so good. The reason I tried it is because I got hit with an ad so many times. And my soul's been desperate for white bread and peanut butter and jelly, because my kids can't eat peanut butter either. So I'm like, this is the answer to all the questions of life. And they just hit me, and they hit me, and they hit me in every game and every day. I got ads after ads. That's why you go buy the random stuff on the internet, because there's an algorithm telling you what to buy over and over and over and over and over and over and over. And you're like, I just bought all these blankets and shackets on the internet. It's fine. It's because they got their algorithm dialed in. The truth is, the original algorithm comes from the enemy of your soul. His name is Satan, and he's hammering you with lies and deceptions to try and twist you, and he's trying to get you to buy into a different way of life. He's trying to get you to live a different way so you could invest your whole heart into belief in the lie. Now, the answer to the valley of weeping to become a place of refreshing is that I don't believe the lie. I don't believe the shadow. Now, if you think about shadows, you can only see a shadow if there's light. Right? You can only see shadow if there's light. So you're in the darkest place of your life and you're seeing a shadow. Here's what I know. Here's what you know. John 1 describes Jesus as a light that shines in the darkness, and the darkness can never extinguish it. That if I'm in the place of the valley of the shadow of death, that I'm actually in a place of life, because there's light just around the corner. The enemy of my soul is distorting the light and making me feel like I'm in a place of death. It's the shadow of death because it's not death itself. It's not the end of you. This season is not the end of you. This moment is not the end of you. This situation is not the end of you. This struggle is not the end of you. In fact, there's good things on the other side. How do I know that? You're like, you're just going to placate me by saying there's good things. No, I'm just going to remind you that you serve a God who is able to do abundantly more, infinitely more than I could ask, think, or imagine, or dream. And if you don't believe me, read it for yourself in Ephesians 3:20, or buy a hoodie and it has it on it so you'll never forget it. Thought that might work, you don't know. No. Did you notice the next verse? When they walk through the valley of weeping, it will become a place of refreshing springs. It says, the autumn rains will clothe it with blessing. It names a season. It means when the season changes, there's a season of refreshing that comes after the valley of weeping. You think this is going to define you? You think you're stuck here forever? When the season changes, there comes blessing. That's how I know there's good things ahead. It's because when the season changes, if you trust in Jesus, and trust doesn't really make sense when it feels really bad. Because we define ourselves by our earthly scenarios, not by what is happening in the spiritual realm. Because oftentimes we only think about the natural and we forget about the spiritual. Scripture talks, we can understand the spiritual realm by looking at the natural realm. And in 1 Corinthians 15, it says, first in the natural, then in the spiritual. I think about the prophet Elijah who's trapped down in a valley. And he's down in a valley with his servant and he's surrounded by the enemy army. And his servant is freaking out. He's like, they're going to kill us. They're going to murder us. We're surrounded by an entire army. And Elijah just wakes up and he's like, I just could you put another pot on? He's like, I haven't finished my coffee yet. He's like, I don't think you understand this, but we're surrounded. And he goes, just hold on. His servant is freaking out. His assistant's like, okay, that's great. I'm glad that you're enjoying your coffee and breakfast. Like, your toast is good. But, like, here's the thing. Uncrustables are amazing, but there's an enemy outside. And they're gonna kill us. He's like, no. See, you've been living in a place so long, and you've been living in the struggle so long, you've been living in the natural so long that you have lost track of what Jesus is able and capable of doing. So he looks at his servant, he goes, and he just prays a prayer. He goes, because he's still drinking his coffee. He's like, I'm not even gonna get up from my seat. I'm just gonna pray a prayer, and he can go see what he needs to see. He goes, Lord, open his eyes that he may see. And he steps outside, and he goes, poof. And he sees that there's a natural army that surrounded them. But then there's an army of heaven that has surrounded the natural army. There's that song that we've sung. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. You may feel trapped and stuck and surrounded. Like the walls are closing in on you. And they may be. But you just forget that there's someone who's surrounding the enemy of your soul. Pastor David McGrew is our theologian in residence. We announced that last week, which is amazing. But he shared something that I'm going to share it with you. And I'm not going to do it as good as he did it, but it just came to my mind, and I was just reminded of the picture. So if you've got a Bible, we're going to go to Matthew 27. And it's an interesting thing, but it's a piece of history that I might get wrong. But I'm going to do my best. In Matthew 27, there's an entire regiment of soldiers. Jesus is about to be crucified. And they take him, and this entire regiment picks up whatever's on the ground around, and they make a crown of thorns, and they put it on Jesus' head. Right? We're familiar with this moment if you've been around church or you've watched The Chosen. There's this crown of thorns, and they take a scepter and they put it in his hand. Now, this idea of crowns is we go, oh, yeah, he's the king of the Jews. That's what the crowns was about. But that wasn't actually historically what the crowns were about. The soldiers in that time, they would actually give out one of the highest awards that they could give a military general at the time was a crown. And it wasn't a gold crown. It was a crown made of foliage. Leafy crown, you know, like. And this award was only actually handed out 8 times in the Roman armies because that specific crown or that specific award was granted to a general who would take his regiment, and they rescued a regiment that was surrounded by the enemy. And that general came in, destroyed the enemy, and rescued the trapped company of soldiers. Does that make sense? And they would take from the battlefield ground the grass and the leaves and the flowers, and they would weave that general a crown from the battlefield and give it as the highest honor. When those Roman soldiers took the thorns from the ground, they might have been mocking Jesus, but what they did was they made him and celebrated him as the victorious general who set free those who were captive. And they took it right from the ground. Today, Jesus wants me to remind you that he's the one who sets the captive free. And he's here to set you free. And he's here to see you walk through it. He's not here to see you trapped. He's not here to see you stuck. He's not here to see you dying on the vine or losing the good fight. But what he has an ask of you says this in Psalm 84, verse 5. What joy for those whose strength comes from the Lord, who have set their minds on a pilgrimage to Jerusalem. We'll get that up, Psalm 84, verse 5. Thank you for being patient with me, Colin. Can we just give it up for Colin, who's just going on the journey today? What joy for those whose strength comes from the Lord, who have set their minds on a pilgrimage to Jerusalem. Now, what's interesting about this verse, I know we're jumping around, but the next verse is the Valley of Weeping verse in verse 6. How does the Valley of Weeping become a place of refreshing? This right here. What joy for those whose strength comes from the Lord, who have set their minds on a pilgrimage to Jerusalem. What's a pilgrimage to Jerusalem? A pilgrimage to Jerusalem in the 21st century, in the New Testament, in the New Covenant, in our context, right here, right now. What joy for those whose strength comes from the Lord, for those who have set their minds on being in the presence of Jesus. A pilgrimage to Jerusalem was an act that they would take sometimes once a year, sometimes twice a year, to make their way to the temple where the presence of God dwelt. They were going to go there and they were going to go and worship. They could do it once, maybe twice a year. And they would physically go, didn't matter where they lived, didn't matter how far it was, they would literally pilgrimage. They would make their way, they'd make a travel, and it was expensive, and it cost money, and it was an investment. I'm sure it was a struggle, and you know, they were walking most of the time. They didn't have cars. They're riding donkeys. There's cart. Like, travel sucked, okay? And they would go, listen, it's worth it for us to get into the presence of God, even if it's once a year. And there's other songs that they would sing. Psalm 127 was a song of ascent. They would sing the songs along the journey. And they were preparing their hearts for what God wanted to do. Now, here's the amazing thing. We don't have to pilgrimage once a year. You just got to drive once a week. You can find yourself in the house of God. You can find yourself in his presence. Now, here's the crazy thing. You don't even have to get in the car to get into his presence. Because he's poured his spirit out on all people and all men. You can find him in your house. He's right there. The truth is, Jesus is closer than you think. And that's not creepy. It's just honest. He's right there, waiting for you to turn around. In James 4, it says, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. And sometimes we go, how come I have to take the first step? Why do I have to, like, make the first move? Okay, you didn't make the first move. The truth is, the context of that verse is this. We have left, as humanity, we have left the God of the universe on red for thousands of generations, thousands of years, generation after generation after generation. He's been right here. He's been drawing us close. He says, I'm with you. I'm closer than you think. I want to lead you and I want to guide you through. I want to draw you in. I want to take you. I want to give you joy. I want to wipe your tears away. Would you just see me? Would you recognize me? Would you set your hearts on following me? Would you come into my presence? Would you get near to me? I'm right here. When it says draw near to me and I'll draw near to you, it's this moment. Josh, come up here. Landon, come on up too. Josh, stand right there. Yeah, faces. Josh is Jesus. For the purpose of this illustration, and because he has a beard, I forgot the blue sash, so you're just going to have to wear what you're wearing. Landon, come here. Landon represents all humanity. Come stand right here and face me. This is a picture of our lives. Jesus is right there. The presence of God is right there. As I go about my everyday life, my general posture is this. I'm looking down the road. I'm looking at what's ahead. I'm looking at my problems. I'm looking at my struggle. I'm just looking somewhere else. When the Bible says, draw near to me and I'll draw near to you, it's not because there's a big gap. It's because my eyes are just looking the other way. So if I'm going to draw near and it seems like I'm making the first move, it's just he made the first move so long ago that I've been ignoring it for so long that you think you're making the first. He says, draw near to me and I'll draw near to you. And this is all it looks like. They're wondering how long. If the illustration is accurate, it's for eternity. They cannot let go. But just keep holding them. See, when we just come back to me, just when you draw near to him, he's going to carry you through. That's how he carries you through. Pulls you close. The best analogy would be like a father and a son, Dylan and Noah. He scoops you up and he carries you and he wraps you up in his arms of love. See, he didn't abandon you. The truth is, I get distracted. Like, you get your fill and then you just go back to the way that it was. He's like, I'm good now. I'm fine. I got this now, Lord. Thank you. I got this. Because there's still something inside of us that goes, I have to prove something. I have to show him. He picked me up and he literally turned me around. And I gotta just prove it to him. And so we set our eyes back on the things that we were looking at before. And if we're not careful, it starts looking like this. Because you go, I have to prove it. I have to do it. I have to show him that I'm worth it. I have to show him that he didn't make a mistake. I have to show him. I have to prove it so that he'll love me more, so that he'll wrap me up. Can I tell you, you didn't have to do anything the first time. You don't have to do anything this time. He just says, would you draw near to me? Stay near to me. Let me wrap you up and let me carry you. But you have decided, and I have decided, we do this all the time, that I'm just going to show them that I'm worth it. I'm just going to prove it. You don't have to prove it. He loves you with an everlasting love. And when we turn our eyes on him and we draw near to him, he wraps us up. And he carries us. So you don't have to. Give it up for these guys. Do you get what I'm saying? When things are repeated in Scripture, we pay attention. In the passage of Psalm 84, there's the phrase, what joy comes from? And then it talks about those who find strength in the Lord and those who trust in the Lord. You will find the joy you're looking for and the strength you're looking for when you turn towards Him and learn to trust Him. We have to learn to trust him beyond our own intuition. We trust him beyond what makes sense in the natural. We trust him when it adds up. And most importantly, we trust him when it doesn't add up. Because I don't actually trust him if I walk the other way when it gets hard. I use him for his benefits. And then I walk away, and then I'm broken. And then I come back and he cleans me up and he fixes me up. It's a common law relationship where I want all the benefits, but I want none of the commitment. Why don't you stand to your feet? So how do I do this? Here's what's interesting. There's a couple of ways that we approach God. When you do it and you choose it, it's called surrender. Because I choose to draw near to him. I choose to come to him. I choose to lay down my pride. I choose to lay down my insecurity. Sometimes we take more pride in our insecurities than we do in Jesus. And we lay it before him and we willfully trust him. And we go, man, I surrender to you. That's one way we come to him. Another way that we come to him is we come to him in brokenness because we've been crushed by a situation. And all the pride is out of us. But can I tell you that either way, whether you choose it, or you need it, we always end up at the feet of Jesus. I feel like there's those of us in the room who you have a choice to make right now. You can choose to surrender or you can choose to find yourself broken by situations and circumstances. Either way, you're going to end up in the same place. One is a journey of joy where you understand that the season's going to change and he's going to lead me through because I trust him. The other path is a path of complete destruction where I buy into the lie and I trust in the lie. And either way, I find myself empty and broken and in desperate need of a Savior. There, I find myself empty and broken and in desperate need of a Savior because I pour it all out at his feet. Over here, I find myself empty and broken in desperate need of a Savior because I'm crushed beyond recognition. So you can choose. We either choose to trust him or we don't. And it starts daily. It starts every day. Read your Bible every day. I don't care if you like it. I don't care if you want to. I don't care if you're getting anything out of it. He wrote his word. If you don't know what his voice sounds like, you can just read it. And if you don't know where to start, go to Saints Global. We got a daily Bible reading. If you don't want to go there, go to YouVersion. There's literally a daily verse that you can get on your phone. If you don't want to go there because you're stubborn, go to Proverbs. There's 31 Proverbs. Whatever the date is, read that chapter for that day. It's the 28th day? 27th? 28th. I don't know what day, time, hour it is. So I read Proverbs 28 today. At least get some wisdom in your heart and your soul. I don't know. I can't hear him speak. I don't know what his will for me is. Start here. After you're done reading that, it's going to take you 7 minutes. For the next three, because that's all we can handle. Put on some worship music or sit in the quiet and don't speak. Listen. We think prayer is babbling on. Jesus actually said, listen, all the religious leaders in Matthew 7, he says, all those religious leaders, Matthew 6, sorry, he goes, Listen, they just stand on street corners just babbling words over and over again. They repeat phrases and they think that they look religious. That's all the reward that they will ever get, is having other people recognize that they sound religious when they pray. We like to fill space because we don't know what to do in the silence. The silence is the place where he's going to meet you and he's going to speak to you, because it's a still small voice. And he already knows what you need. I'm not saying don't get there. I'm just giving you a first step. Can I tell you this? One of the Psalm of Ascents is Psalm 127. It says, unless the Lord builds his house, the laborers will toil in vain. We're a part of a church community that's here to reach this whole region. And the Lord is building this house. In Matthew 16, it says, the Lord is building this house. Jesus will build his church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. If you try and do this without Jesus, if you try and volunteer without Jesus, if you try and, you're just going to fill your time and you're going to find yourself weary and well-doing. You're going to find yourself angry, frustrated, disappointed in people. You do this because you're honoring Jesus, not because you're trying to get something out of it. We do it because he wants to reach a region, not because it gives me pride. But I'll tell you this. You want to know how to grow in your spiritual life? Just keep showing up. Just keep showing up. And when you walk in these doors, go all in. Go all in worship. Go all into the word. Go all in relationship. You can hide very easily in this room. It's not that big, but you can hide. You're only going to get out of it what you put into it. Just keep showing up. Build a relationship. Build two. Build three. And then decide this. This season is a season. I'm going to listen to the voice of the one who gives me life. I'm not going to listen to the lie of the enemy. Jesus, I choose you. I choose you. Come on. Actually, let's do this. Let's pray. I'm going to pray. You repeat after me. Say, dear Jesus, I choose you. I choose the truth. I choose your presence. I choose your word. I choose your house. I turn my back on the lies. I turn the back on my insecurity. I turn my back on trying to do it on my own. From this moment forward, I'm following you one step at a time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, 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 amen.
Hey, thanks for joining us today. If you have any questions or are looking to get connected in any further way, head to saintschurch.ca and we would love to meet you.